The government of El Salvador has fully embraced Bitcoin. So, how's that going? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Andy Euler. Last September, El Salvador recognized the cryptocurrency Bitcoin as legal tender. The program, spearheaded by President Nayib Bukele, means that government institutions and businesses can recognize it as a lawful payment method. Then, in less than a year, the value of Bitcoin has dropped by more than half. So how is this nation's bet impacting Salvadorans today? Jacob Silverman is a freelance journalist who's been covering the crypto space. He traveled to El Salvador with his reporting partner, actor Ben McKenzie, for their feature story that was recently published in The Intercept. Jacob says that the plummeting value of Bitcoin has hurt the government's ability to pay back its crushing debt, but it hasn't really hurt residents' day-to-day direct finances because many citizens avoid Bitcoin altogether.
For the people, it's certainly been a problem. I mean, a lot of people lost money. We talked to a number of people who had their identity stolen. But, you know, that caused simply a lot of people to just forsake Bitcoin and not be interested in it. Some people don't have internet access. Some people don't have consistent electricity. Some people just don't want to be involved, or they had that bad first experience. So in that way, that's sort of how it's been a failure, I'd say, for the average Salvadoran. The proof is really also in remittances. About a quarter of El Salvador's economy, their GDP, is powered by remittances because they have so many people living abroad. And only 2% of remittances are being sent through Bitcoin at the moment, which really shows that the established methods of remittances, which are often things like Western Union or MoneyGram, seem to be sufficient for most people.
So if I'm in El Salvador, if I'm trying to spend money in El Salvador, how am I doing it if I've decided that I'm not going to sort of interact with Bitcoin?
Actually, El Salvador's other primary currency, its other official currency, is the U.S. dollar. So most of the economy there is done in cash, and about 70% of people also don't have a bank account. So really, it's a U.S. dollar-based economy there. That's really what's preferred. We're even in places like the airport in San Salvador is a nice, technologically up-to-date airport. We asked to use Bitcoin to buy some souvenirs. They said they'd rather not and ask for dollars.
You have a great line in this piece where you call the Bitcoin project a tangled mess of government and private interests. Tell me about the relationship between the Bukele administration and some of the private companies who might not even be in El Salvador working to promote crypto in the country. That's actively happening, yeah?
Very much so. And some of this is happening in the open. I mean, for example, a lot of this is run by a company called iFinex, which is the parent company of Bitfinex, and which is a major crypto exchange, and Tether, which is a very controversial stablecoin because some people have questioned its business practices, including the U.S. government. So we know that they are being invited to draft the securities laws that are supposed to be passed by the Salvadoran government. They've been heavily involved in giving away money and giving away Bitcoin to people and sort of spreading the Bitcoin gospel. It's really not just the Salvadoran government choosing to give Bitcoin to its people or give access to it. There are a lot of interested players and a lot of foreign ones, and ones we don't exactly know what everyone is up to.
Is there anything we can learn and sort of add to the conversation when it comes to this sort of Bitcoin experiment?
I think so. I think for one thing, it doesn't work very well as a currency because it's not very liquid. The value is very volatile. And despite the problem of inflation, which is a legitimate problem, people need their currency to be somewhat reliable in terms that one Bitcoin will be worth the same amount one day to the next. And I think also when you see it implemented by a government that is perhaps not very trustworthy, or perhaps any government that might be beholden to private interests, it doesn't become the democratic, liberating economic tool that it's painted as. There are already people being displaced from Bitcoin Beach, the area in El Salvador that's sort of being highlighted for Bitcoin. So what you see is when Bitcoin is actually implemented in a country like El Salvador, it's actually a tool for private interests and for elites to enrich themselves. It's not really the economic lifeline that its main boosters would claim it is.
Jacob Silverman is a freelance journalist and is currently writing a book with actor Ben McKenzie on cryptocurrency and fraud. And now for some related links. We'll point to Jacob and Ben's story for The Intercept on our website, marketplacetech.org. It includes more context about how this experiment fits in with Salvadoran life, including extensive gang violence and the economic pressures that include mounting foreign debt. We'll also link to a piece from Rest of World, which covers global tech stories, that shares details about the Salvadoran Bitcoin wallet app called Chivo. Turns out the app suffered from many technical bugs and security flaws. As many as 61% of consumers abandoned the app after collecting an initial government incentive. And if you want to find out a little bit more about cryptocurrency mining in the U.S., we've got a couple of stories for you. One from the New York Times about recent congressional hearings. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a story I produced a few months back about a giant Bitcoin mining facility in Rockdale, Texas, just an hour and a half from me in Austin, that I visited earlier this year. Another article from Quartz talks about whether or not crypto mining is stifling our transition to cleaner, renewable energy. That's a conversation that is near and dear to my heart. I'm Andy Euler, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.